Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Second hour on this Monday morning. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll continue to talk Titans throughout the show after their preseason finale against the Vikings on Friday night. But it is college football season. We are officially into college football. No more Saturdays without some type of football until February. It's great. We got Farmageddon on Saturday. And Parker, I know, I'm sure you watched every second of that game. I watched every second of it. I was a little disappointed. No college game day on Saturday morning. Because usually they will do the Dublin college game day to start off. At least the last couple years they've done it. I get it, though, with, you know, there's a lot of buildup to Lee Corso's final show coming up from Columbus this Saturday. But I do have to say, I was a little bit disappointed that we didn't get College Game Day live from Dublin on Saturday. But it was still fun to get back. And, you know, I watched the Lee Corso special ahead of the game. So it
I teared up. I teared up watching it.
I did, too. The scene of him in the theater. Watching,
oh, that got me.
Watching all of
I
the,
actually broke on that one.
The
yep.
colleagues, the players he's covered, talk about his impact on the game of college football. If you haven't watched it, Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend. It was fantastic. So that at least made me feel like I had college game day. I watched that whole thing just before kickoff of Farmageddon on Saturday.
It's only right. Only right. But we had to settle for college football countdown instead of game day on Saturday morning. They were there last year. I was
right.
Shocked they weren't there this year, but they will be back in full force. And to be honest, I'm not emotionally prepared despite watching that Lee Corso documentary. I'm still not prepared for Saturday and what it might do to my emotions.
Yeah, it's going to be a tearjerker on Saturday. I mean, you already saw the emotion from Kirk Herbstreit from Lee Corso. Going to be a special one in Columbus coming up on Saturday. But we did get college football. We got Farmageddon. Top 25 matchup. Huge Big 12 implications. Playoff implications. Kansas State, Iowa State. And man, Parker, was that game sloppy to start off. And I get it. The field conditions weren't great. It was raining. This is week zero. These guys are playing football for the first time in a live setting in 7 or 8 months. So I get it. It wasn't going to be perfect, but oh my goodness. The drops, the fumbles down in the red zone. It was a mess early on, but we did get some fireworks later on. It ended up being a great game, but ooh, that first half, it felt like no one could hold on to the football.
The way the football gods intended Big 12 football should be played. Iowa State, Kansas State, Farmageddon. I don't like the fact that it was in Dublin. I'd prefer that site to be in either Ames or Manhattan when it's snowing, but I guess this will have to do for now. It was college football. I'll watch it, but man, it was sloppy. Two fumbles by each team in the first half, a
right.
muffed punt. I mean, just, ooh, it was rough, but I think what we should get out of this was Iowa State's quarterback Rocco Becht. If you're a box score watcher, you probably weren't impressed, but watching him play, I thought he was an X factor in the game. And the Big 12 quarterbacks this year, I've been pounding the drum. I feel like it's so underrated. There are so many great quarterbacks in the Big 12 that no one talks about. I brought up Sawyer Robinson from Baylor, and Connor looked at me like I had three heads. I'm like, you don't know who that is? There are some great quarterbacks in the Big 12.
Yeah, and yet Baylor-Auburn, is that Friday night?
Friday night.
So
Fox, 7 p.m. on Fox?
That's a game, like Hugh Freeze at Auburn, if he wants to keep himself off the hot seat, that's a game you have to win. Like, as an SEC school, you've got to win these power non-conference games. But I don't know. Baylor's a sleeper to win the Big 12 this year. I agree with you, though. I thought Rocco Becht, it wasn't perfect. Like, he tossed the first fumble at the goal line. I don't really know whose fault that was. It was kind of just a mess of a play, and then he got sacked, lost the football later on in the first half. But overall, he made the plays when they needed him to. He made a couple of unbelievable throws into the end zone on go routes that led to touchdowns. And then that fourth and two. I mean, Matt Campbell putting it all on the table right there. You had an opportunity. There was, what, about a minute 45 left, and Kansas State was out of timeouts. You could have just kicked a field goal, made it a six-point game. Trust your defense that has been really good all day, except for maybe one or two busted plays here and there. But he said, you know what? We're going to trust our offense. We get 2 yards, and we can kneel this out. And great play design. Dropped it off into the flats for the running back. Initially called a touchdown, but ended up allowing
just short at the one,
Iowa State to just kneel it out for a 24-21 win. That was, in terms of a way to start college football, I don't think you could have asked for much more from Farmageddon.
And how about Matt Campbell? He's the winningest coach in Iowa State history. It's not a high bar, but he's taken that program to places that they never thought they could. He's taken a pay cut so that his assistant coaches could get paid more money so he could stay there. He's gotten NFL interest. He's gotten other Power Four interest, and he's decided to stick around. And isn't that what everybody wants to see in college football, is loyalty like that?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Campbell, I'm sure there have been opportunities for him to take a step up, because Iowa State in the larger landscape of college football is not viewed as a tier one job, probably not even a tier two job. But he has been loyal. He has turned that program into a perennial contender in the Big 12. And man, what a game on Saturday. I thought Avery Johnson was solid. He made some big plays. That throw down the field right after Iowa State made it a 10-point game for the first time, he came right back and threw a touchdown pass to get him back within three. Would have been cool to see him get a chance to go win it down the stretch. But overall, it was a good game. I think both those teams are good. Do I think either of those teams are playoff good at this point? Maybe not. But Iowa State, that is a huge data point for them, because that is a neutral site game. Although, I guess Kansas State was technically the home team. Dave Pasch on the broadcast was talking about how they flew in their whole game ops crew. So, like, it was their PA announcer and their video board crew. All that was Kansas State, even though the game was being played in Dublin. So, I think that's a huge win for Iowa State. Who knows if it ends up having an impact on the college football playoff, but the way the Big 12 was last year, where down the stretch there were 1,000 scenarios of who could get into the Big 12 title game, that is an important tiebreaker to have between Iowa State and Kansas State, because odds are, you know, could the Big 12 get two in? Sure. But odds are it's going to be just the champion. You've got to get yourself into the title game. That's a big win.
And the margins in the Big 12 are so razor thin. The difference between going 10-2, 9-3, and 5-7, it's so razor thin.
Yep.
But this was, I think it was a huge win for Iowa State. I certainly think we could see them back in the Big 12 championship game. But I think it's time that we have a tough conversation about Avery Johnson. I think the expectations on Avery Johnson, I believe he was crowned a little bit too early, kind of how the media did with Nico Iamaleava last year. I mean, he was getting Johnny Manziel comparisons. And he can certainly run the ball. You certainly want to see him throw the ball a little bit better. He did have a pretty solid game, but I just didn't feel like he was an X factor, a game changer at all. And he's still a really good quarterback, and I think that's more so on the media for crowning him too early than necessarily himself. He's still a really good quarterback. I just don't think he's a game changer.
Yeah, and it is funny, if you look at Avery Johnson's stat line, and this is why you can't scout box scores, because Avery Johnson completed 70% of his passes for 9 yards per attempt, 2 touchdowns through the air, no interceptions, and 1 touchdown on the ground. Like, if you scout box scores, you would have thought Avery Johnson had a phenomenal game, and Rocco Becht only completed 50% of his passes, 6.5 yards per attempt, and he fumbled twice. Like, if you look at the box scores, you think Avery Johnson outplayed Rocco Becht, but in the big moments, Rocco came through. And it was cool, the shots of his dad in the stands, former first-round pick Anthony Becht. Like, that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Go see your son play in Dublin. He came through in the biggest moment. Matt Campbell talked about how he trusted his quarterback. Was it fake, the Avery Johnson brother and dad fighting outside the stadium?
I was wondering when we were going to address that. That was real.
That was real,
okay.
They
put out a statement yesterday about
it. I was going to say, because I saw the video and I was like, is this real, or is this somebody just making stuff up and saying this is his dad and brother? I guess things got heated in the Johnson household after that.
It was real. Him and his father, brother, they put out a joint statement yesterday. It was very real. I thought it was fake at first as well, but when I saw On3 Pete Nakos reporting that they released a statement,
whew, You can't trust what's on the internet completely, but I guess that one was real. Kansas State will look to bounce back. They have North Dakota next week, and then a couple of tough games. You got Army, you got Arizona, Baylor coming up on the schedule. So Kansas State's going to have to turn things, around quickly. For Iowa State, looking at their upcoming schedule, they play South Dakota next week, and then Iowa in their first big non-conference game. So lots to look forward to for the Big 12, and a fun game in Farmageddon on Saturday morning. Another big game late in the day for Week 0. That's what's great about Week 0. You know, I wish we had better games, but we started in Dublin, Ireland, and you went completely around the globe to Hawaii for the final game of the day between Stanford and Hawaii. And I know this was kind of overdone on the broadcast, but the story of the Hawaii kicker is unbelievable. And we will talk about that coming up next here on the program. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. You can text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is for Homegrown Taproom and Kitchen in Donelson. Homegrown Taproom and Kitchen, a beloved neighborhood hub featured on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, offers a gourmet twist on comfort food, and you can enjoy one of their 24 taps of craft beer selections, wine, and unique canned cocktails. Get half off a $100 gift card now at thegamenashville.com while supplies last. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Monday morning. Titans got the win on Friday night in their preseason finale. Brian Callahan now 5-1 in preseason games. We'll have more on the Titans coming up in just a bit, including looking at the 53-man roster. How many spots are up for grabs? Who might take them? And how many might be replaced by waiver claims? That's coming up later on in the show. But more on college football. Week 0 over the weekend. We talked about the big game of the day, Farmageddon. Top 25 matchup in Dublin. The day ended on the other side of the world with Stanford and Hawaii. Hawaii, the Bows, capped the day with a walk-off field goal. Parker, have you seen the story about their kicker? I know they talked about this a lot on the broadcast, so I don't want to belabor the point. I know it was kind of overdone. But Kansei Matsuzawa, believe that's correct, from Japan.
Pretty good pronunciation right there.
He learned how to kick on YouTube. He was a soccer player from Japan who came over on a visit. He saw an NFL game and decided he wanted to learn how to kick a football. Then he went to Hocking College in Ohio, transferred to Hawaii in 2023, redshirted, and then kicked the game-winning field goal to beat Stanford in Week 0. Unbelievable story. And obviously, I don't think he ends up being like an NFL kicker. There's only 32 of those jobs. They don't come open very often. But to have that story of just, hey, one day I want to learn something on YouTube and turning that into a Division I scholarship, that's awesome.
Just shows that if you want something bad enough, you can make it happen. I watched that entire game, and it was fantastic. It was everything that I would hope it would be.
And Stanford, I mean, Andrew Luck has taken over that program as the general manager. Also, happy anniversary yesterday to Titans fans, as Andrew Luck retired 6 years ago yesterday. I know that was a big day for Titans fans out there. I remember celebrating in my apartment in college. Andrew Luck has taken over that program, and it seems like he wants to rebuild it from the studs. Like, he wants to just completely tear it down. He fired their head coach midway through the offseason, I want to say, like post-spring practice.
So right after spring ball.
I don't think Stanford's going to be very good this year.
Oh, no.
There's a chance that they only end up with one or two wins. Hawaii could have been one of them, but the Bows get the win on the field goal. I mean, just imagine, like, I've looked at YouTube for stuff, like, you know, stuff on my car. Like, oh, I got to change my taillight, like, Can you help me with that? Like, all that cooking, exactly. But to turn one of those same things of like, oh, you know, I want to teach myself to kick. I believe he said it was Jason Myers, the Seattle Seahawks kicker, was the one that he watched. And to teach yourself how to kick and turn that into an education is just awesome. And I know it was overdone on the broadcast, but Kansei Matsuzawa coming through to wrap up what was a fun week zero. Other highlights from week zero college football, and Dan Mullen. I know they controlled that game against Idaho State, but that's a lot closer for UNLV. 38-31, not great. And then Kansas taking care of business against Fresno State against Kurt Warner's son at quarterback for the Bulldogs.
I have two takeaways. So for that first game, the UNLV, you want to know who they're starting? Do you know who their starting quarterback is? Well, I guess they have two right now. They ran a dual quarterback.
I think I do, but I'm blanking.
Alex Orji, right. Michigan transfer.
Michigan transfer, Virginia Tech commit at one point.
Yeah, and someone that's very near and dear to your heart, I'm sure, Virginia quarterback transfer, Anthony Calandria.
Oh, right, Calandria, yeah. Calandria, who came out and was like, we're going to turn the tide and we're going to beat the Hokies every single year.
Yep, that guy.
Never beat the Hokies, and now he's gone.
He is now in Las Vegas. So Idaho State actually was up. I think they were up by four. They were either up by four or it was a touchdown, but UNLV really sweated that one out.
Yep.
But, hey, I guess a win is a win. If you're beating Idaho State, sure.
Right.
Then the Fresno State-Kansas game, that was actually fireworks in the first quarter, but Kansas ran away with it after that. I will say Kansas, I believe, will win at least 8 to 9 games, be in Big 12 contention if they get a healthy Jalen Daniels all year.
Hey, Kansas, they have pulled themselves up from the absolute cellar of power conference football. They were horrible for so long. Lance Leopold there, the former Buffalo coach, and they have figured it out. They're 1-0 after a win over Fresno State. We are now 3 days away from week one. Thursday night, is there any big games Thursday night, Parker? I know
Boise State plays, but
right.
They play USF. USF is a pretty good group of five team.
Yeah.
I think Missouri plays.
Yeah, I think I saw that too. And then Friday night, Colorado is on the field, and we mentioned that Auburn-Baylor game. You've got East Carolina-NC State on Thursday night, too. A couple other games.
Duke plays.
Elon, Minnesota-Buffalo.
Nebraska-Cincinnati.
Man, so there's a lot of games on Thursday night. I didn't realize how many games there were. And then, yeah, Friday night, Georgia Tech-Colorado, Auburn-Baylor, UNLV-Sam Houston, two teams who have already played in Week Zero. And then Saturday, the great slate for Labor Day weekend starts with Texas, Ohio State. Top 5 matchup. You got a top 10 matchup between LSU and Clemson, Notre Dame, Miami the next day, Bill Belichick's debut on Monday. Going to be a great week of college football. 5 straight days of college football. Parker, your Tennessee Volunteers, number 24 in the country. They got Syracuse in Atlanta, 11 a.m. on Saturday. How you feeling? 5 days out from the opener for Josh Heupel and crew.
I will say I'm feeling pretty good just because I know Syracuse lost a lot of production from last year's team. Their two best players that were actually retained in the spring actually left. Trevor Pena going to Penn State.
Yep.
Their best defensive player went to Texas. So they lost a lot of production. I'm feeling pretty good. I think Tennessee will win this one. And I was actually watching a little bit of film yesterday on Joey Aguilar and Nico Iamaleava because that's what I do this time of year. But I actually feel that Joey Aguilar can have a better statistical season in Tennessee's offense this year than Nico Iamaleava.
No, it's fair. I mean, you look back at Nico's season, and it wasn't all that inspiring. And I know we make a big deal about Nico leaving, and I think it's less about Nico as the player rather than Nico was your starting quarterback. Like, it doesn't matter how good your starting quarterback was. If he's your starting quarterback and he leaves mid-spring practice, that puts you in a bind. But I could see it. Like, Nico, it was what? He threw 4 touchdowns against Vandy?
Yeah, he had 19 total.
Right.
And
so,
I think 11 of which came against non-Power 4 teams.
Right, because was it Bowling Green or Ball State?
Kent State was one of them.
Kent State, when they went up like 40-0 in the first quarter.
Chattanooga was in there. I can't remember the other team. Here's the thing. Like, Nico, he overthrew a lot of receivers, which was a problem that Joe Milton had. And he was very conservative because he'd make one read, feel a little bit of pressure, then escape the pocket when there wasn't a need to escape the pocket. And you look at Joey Aguilar, who's a true gunslinger and will take those chances. Now, sometimes it may get picked off, but at least he takes those chances.
It's a good point, and I wouldn't be shocked if Joey Aguilar does have a better statistical season than Nico Iamaleava. We'll see what Tennessee is able to do. Other highlights on Saturday, Alabama-Florida State. Thomas Castellanos going to have a chance to back up his words that they're going to beat Alabama in week one. It's been an interesting offseason for Thomas Castellanos. And Vandy starts the season against Charleston Southern over there at First Bank Stadium. I got to say, I was over in First Bank on Friday afternoon. The stadium's looking good. It is. No more. We are 2 years removed almost to the day from the dangling scoreboard in that Hawaii game. And it's looking good over there. Looks like it should be just about ready for game time on Saturday.
Now remind me, did they take out some seats in order to put those stadium, or did they put in more seats?
So it's less seats, but it's the premium seating option. So
gotcha.
They took out the bleachers on both end zones, and now they have kind of these suites, and you know, it allows for people to have a better experience, even though maybe less people are in the stadium. So
I will say, I've seen pictures of it. It looks really good, despite taking out less seats. It looks really good.
Well, it was cool last year when the college football video game came out, because they sent the renderings in, and so you could see what it would look like. And usually the renderings, I was talking to Andrew Allegretta about this, that usually the renderings aren't spot on, but it looks pretty much exactly
looks
like
pretty
you'd
accurate
expect.
To me.
I was joking with Andrew that the college football video game, they should put in a Vanderbilt construction site option if you want to play there. Like, you know, in some of these video games you can play in classic stadiums. College football needs to put in Vanderbilt finished, Vanderbilt unfinished, so you can see the swinging scoreboard on the cranes if you want to.
If you want a realistic point of view or a realistic game-like experience, yes.
I would love it. And going to be fun. I'll be out there on Saturday at First Bank Stadium, Vanderbilt taking on Charleston Southern before they head on the road for back-to-back weeks, taking on Virginia Tech and South Carolina. Those two teams will play on Sunday. LSU-Clemson again is the night game on Saturday night, and then Notre Dame-Miami on Sunday. Going to be a beautiful weekend of college football. And then after that, we've got college and NFL football for basically the next 3 or 4 months.
It's so beautiful.
It's beautiful. We finally made it, everyone. We have made it back to football season. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Back into the Titans coming up next. I was in the stadium on Friday night, and I just have some thoughts on, this has nothing to do with the team on the field, some thoughts on the presentation, I guess I could say, of the Tennessee Titans. We'll talk about that next, and then in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll go through roster math. The 53-man roster is due in just over 24 hours. Who makes it? How many spots are up for grabs? And who could be replaced by a waiver claim? We'll get into all of that throughout the rest of the show. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. Monday morning following the Titans' final preseason game and week zero of college football. We are firmly into football season now. Full slate of college football coming up this weekend. The NFL is now just 10 days away. Cowboys-Eagles starting up the season next Thursday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Now, I was at the game on Friday night. I did leave early third quarter, wanted to get home a little early, but I did stay, watched all of Cam Ward, and watched most of what Brandon Allen did, and I had a couple of thoughts leaving the stadium, not about the team, but about the presentation. And the first off is, whatever the opposite of growing on me is, that is what the Titans uniforms are doing. I said shrinking on me. I don't know if that's the possible, but when they first released the uniforms, I really liked them. Like, I thought it was a needed change. The Titans had the same jerseys with the white helmets for years. And I mean, since the team moved here, and I really liked them when they came out. And I think every year I like them a little bit less. And I'm very excited that they're going to be getting new jerseys coming up soon. I believe Warren Moon spoiled it and said it's probably going to align with the new stadium. They need new uniforms, because every year I see them, I'm like, man, these are not good. They need to rebrand, get a fresh look. And I know Warren Moon said it's going to have some Oiler ish look to it, and I think that's the right way to go.
I'm not sure I'm a fan of the numbers, the way the numbers look on the jersey.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. The navy blue helmet, the light blue jersey, and the white pants kind of threw me off in terms of color. I don't know.
I think it's the helmet. I think I don't like the navy blue helmet, and maybe that's the main thing. The other thing is the sword, the gray shoulders. I'm not sure I'm a huge fan of that. Like, I don't know what it is. But every year, I think I like them a little bit less. And that was just one of those thoughts I had in the stadium on Friday night. I'm looking down at the Titans sideline and watching all these guys in the uniform. I'm like, man, I don't love these jerseys anymore. And I do hope that when they do make a change, I hope that it is more Oilers-like. Maybe bring a little bit of the original Titans look back. Like, I'm looking here in studio. We've got all of these bobbleheads. And I do like the original Titans look with the two-tone blue. You've got the navy main part of the jersey and the light blue shoulders. I think that's a better look. And I know they've said they're going to go to quote-unquote Titans blue as their main color. So maybe that is the Oilerism of it. But I wouldn't mind going back to the two-tone of the light blue as your main color, navy blue shoulders, and maybe throw a little bit more of a pop of red in there. Like, I think that's better. I think there's too much gray in these uniforms.
I want to see some alternates, because I know all these other NFL teams, like the Lions, they have black alternates with like the Hawaiian blue, and the lion is black. And then Houston has some crazy alternates. The Minnesota Vikings have an all white. The Green Bay Packers have an all white. Why can't we see the Titans get an all white as an alternate? I would personally love that.
Right. The all whites look good, but they looked better with the white helmets. The Stormtrooper look of, you know, the 2000s and most of the 2010s, that was a good look. And I think it looks fine with the navy helmet, but it doesn't look nearly as good. So that was my first main gripe with presentation. The second one, I went into that stadium hoping, praying that when the Titans scored a touchdown, I didn't hear those trumpets for Ring of Fire. And I was sadly disappointed. I don't want this to go into Jake hates Johnny Cash. I like Johnny Cash. I think bringing back the Pain Train and Folsom Prison Blues at the end of the third quarter, that's awesome. And I think Ring of Fire is a great song. It's not what I want to hear after the Titans score a touchdown. It doesn't get the crowd hype. Like, I get it. The Titans wanted to incorporate Johnny Cash and country music. I do not like it. And I was really hoping going into that game that I wouldn't see, after the first touchdown, look up at the video board and see those three guys playing the trumpet. And I was sadly disappointed. I make this a plea. And if you're out there and disagree with me, let me know. 615-737-1025. But the Titans need a better touchdown song than Ring of Fire.
If you're wanting to get the crowd hyped up, and is Ring of Fire a great song? Yes. Is it a great touchdown song? Not necessarily. If you want to get the crowd hype, you don't play somber, monotone music. You play something a little upbeat.
I mean,
get the crowd hype.
I think the trumpets are a little bit upbeat, but it's just not, it's missing
something.
It's not
working.
It's not working. And I thought that was pretty evident after the first full year of it, but clearly not. I think they need to change that up. Again, I don't know. I don't have a solution to this. Like, I don't have a song in mind that I think would be better, but it can't get much worse, right? Like, without playing like the Sound of Silence after a touchdown or something like that. I don't know. As soon as I heard the trumpets, I was like, okay, they're doing it again. Wes and Clarksville asked, do they still do the annoying 300 first down chant? Yes, they do. The who, which I don't hate. I think it's turned into like an actual tradition for Titans home games to do that. So I'm fine with that. I'm not a huge fan of the Ring of Fire. It's a fine song. Like, love Johnny Cash. Keep Johnny Cash involved. If you want to do Folsom Prison Blues or do something with God's going to cut you down early. I know that that's a lot of teams use that as like a walkout song. Like, that's fine. Do that. But Ring of Fire, it doesn't get me going. And honestly, that was the main thing. And it was funny. I was sitting next to my fiance, and I immediately, as soon as it started playing, I was like, oh God, they brought it back. And she's like, why do you care? I'm like, I don't know. I want to come to the game. And when the team scores a touchdown,
because you're a fan, that's why you
right,
care.
Right, like, I want to feel the atmosphere and the crowd getting excited. And obviously a touchdown's always going to excite the crowd, but it just doesn't feel like it matches the feeling, right? Like, you can use Ring of Fire for something else, but it doesn't feel like it matches the feeling in the stadium when the trumpets start playing. We're getting some ideas here for what the Titans could use as a touchdown song. And actually, let's put that out there for the text line here. Do you have a better touchdown song for the Titans? 615-737-1025. Jay from Laverne says, turn down for what? That one might be overused.
No.
I'm not a huge fan of that one.
As a Tennessee Vols fan, no.
I don't have we don't have our wrestling expert here, Connor Newt, who it's his first day of classes. Shout out Connor Newt.
He would have a great song in mind, I'm sure.
Merle from Mount Juliet says Cody Rhodes entry song Kingdom. I'm not familiar. So maybe
Cody Rhodes? Maybe, is that a wrestler?
Yeah, it's a wrestler. Yeah. I know it's a wrestler. I just don't know the song. 7410 says, I 100% agree with the touchdown music. It's embarrassing throwing in a half-empty stadium, and the whole thing looks so high school. I do have to say, the crowd looked pretty good on Friday night. We had a texter earlier, and I wanted to get back to this. Skyler says, I was at the game Friday. Were you surprised by how many fans were there? There were a lot of Vikings fans, but I was impressed by the crowd. Yes, I was impressed by the crowd, too. It is a lot of Vikings fans, because as somebody who spent two summers in Minnesota, I know that Minnesotans, any excuse to go party and, you know, have a weekend drinking on Broadway, they're going to go do it. And they had an opportunity. Come see the team play on Friday night and have a weekend in Nashville. So there were a lot of Vikings fans there, but I thought the Titans fans showed up too to come see Cam Ward's debut. 615-737-1025. Chris and Dixon with a really good point here. The Titans brass needs to go to a Preds game and hear how hyped the fans get on a goal. I agree. The Preds have found a great goal song. The Tim McGraw, I like it. I love it. I think it's perfect. And not that the Titans need to do exactly that, but they need to find something like that. I think they threw a dart at the board with Ring of Fire and it didn't hit. I would like to see them change it up. They had the opportunity to. It's only been one preseason game. Maybe they switch it up, but I'm not a fan of the Ring of Fire as the touchdown song. 615-737-1025. If you have thoughts on what would be a better touchdown song for the Titans than Ring of Fire, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Do want to mention some breaking news here around the NFL. Jordan Schultz reporting, the Commanders and all-pro wide receiver Terry McLaurin have agreed to a three-year extension worth over $96 million. The deal is done, and Scary Terry gets his well-deserved payday. So that is big news for the Commanders. Terry McLaurin is back in the saddle, and he is going to be ready for week one for the Commanders after signing his new extension. So breaking news there, Terry McLaurin sticking around in D.C. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll keep it going here. Send in your thoughts. What is a better Titans touchdown song than Ring of Fire? We'll get to those coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up here on this Monday morning, 102.5 The Game. Wrapping up hour number two here on this Monday, next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. I had some thoughts on the Titans game presentation on Friday night, and I was hoping every time the Titans got close, getting down towards the red zone, when they score a touchdown, please do not play the trumpets. And they did. Ring of Fire is back, at least for now, as the Titans touchdown song. So we asked the question to all of you, what is a better touchdown song the Titans could go with? 615-737-1025. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steve is on the line with the thoughts. Steve, thanks for calling. What's up?
Well, I think the Ring of Fire is kind of in relation to the Ring of Fire on the emblem of the helmet. I think the horns blowing is fine because it's no different than going to a college game and you hear the horns blowing, whatever they're going to blow.
That's fair.
So I don't really have a problem with it.
Well, thanks for the call, Steve. I get what you're saying. And I guess I didn't think of it like that with the fireball and the ring of fire. I mean, I guess that's something. I just don't think it matches the feeling in the stadium. Like, if the Titans score a big touchdown late in the game to take the lead, is the trumpets and ring of fire what you want to hear in that moment? I don't think so. And I think an awesome idea is what we've got from Matthew in Nashville and Josh from White House. Burn it to the ground, Nickelback. Bring it back. I think that is an awesome touchdown song. And you can have your thoughts on Nickelback, but that is a song that matches the feeling when your team scores a touchdown. Just, you know, it fires you up. I think it matches the roar of the crowd. I think that's a great one. Greg Roberts says the Glorious Sons, the Union. Can't say I'm familiar with that one. Maybe I know it and just don't recognize the title. But I think there are plenty of other options other than Ring of Fire. Not that I'm saying it's the worst touchdown song of all time. I just don't think it fits the feeling. And it did make me kind of roll my eyes when I heard it on Friday night. Drew says, bodies hit the floor. How crazy would that be? Just get some screamo rock going right after the Titans score a touchdown. Here's a good idea in our YouTube chat. It's Music City. Literally just pay for a Titans touchdown jingle from someone. They could do a best Titans touchdown song gets a reward type competition. I kind of like that. You could even do it like have people send in the demos of this of their touchdown song and let the fans vote on it, and the winner gets to perform it live at the first Titans game or something like that. Like, because a lot of Music City for these up-and-coming artists who would be submitting these songs is the exposure. So it's like, hey, if you can write a Titans touchdown song that fits, then you can come perform it in front of 70,000 people or whatever it is on a Sunday. 7653 says, don't have a touchdown song, but preface something with the Joker Heath Ledger clip. Rack 'em up, rack 'em up, rack 'em up. I kind of like it. I mean, I think there are options. I didn't hate the throw at the dartboard last year with Ring of Fire. Like, it was something new. It was fresh. But I just don't think it hit. And I think there are better options that you could go to.
Was that Get Loud, Tighten Up song the touchdown song a couple years ago? Am I remembering that correct?
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
Like that one got old about after a year, I'd say.
Yeah, so maybe that's what you would get with the competition. I'm all in on Nickelback. I think that's Burn It to the Ground is such a, like, it just gets you going.
And I'm in favor of, like, the texter from the YouTube chat paying somebody in Music City to do it. Jelly Roll. Could you imagine Jelly Roll recording a song? And that's the perfect person.
I will give the Titans credit. Jelly Roll did the open, the like hype video right before the team came out. And that video was awesome. If anybody else was in the stadium on Friday night and saw it, I have to say, I thought that was a great open video. I think it got people going. You had Jelly Roll in it. It featured all of the best players. I thought that was fantastic. So shout out to the Titans video crew, the game presentation. I thought the intro was great. Also, I wrote this down on the grid because I thought it was so funny. There's a new like in-game game they do in between breaks with Whataburger called Beat the Freak. And so it's Javon Kearse playing in these little competitions against current Titans players. And the referee wearing a full referee getup with a Whataburger logo on it is Jim Wyatt. And
oh
it was
gosh.
Awesome. I thought that was great. Jim Wyatt being the Whata ref, I think is what they called him, was fantastic. So I don't want this to seem like I'm bashing the Titans in-game presentation because I did like a lot of the stuff they did. I just think Ring of Fire wasn't the song that I wanted to hear after the Titans pushed it into the end zone. And that was in a preseason game. Can you imagine when the team eventually is playing in a huge game at home and scores a go-ahead touchdown in the final minute? We need a song that fits that moment. Because Ring of Fire may be fine for a preseason game, but I'm not a huge fan of it for when you actually get to play real football.
I want to hear Jelly Roll. If he had a song or something, I'd want to hear that.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, Jelly Roll, he spoke to the team. He's doing the intro video. Why not get him for that? Wes from Hermitage says, I'd rather have the Paul Feinbaum theme show song than Ring of Fire. I don't care what they do, but
you,
pick something
up. Are you
sure
you mean that?
Yeah, that I have listened to that theme song way too many times being here in the studio when it plays, and I would disagree with that. Give me Ring of Fire 1,000 times over the Paul Feinbaum show. Josh says, Brooks and Dunn did one with the Oilers, just have to change to Titans. Not a bad idea. Justin from Greenbrier says, you could do what the Preds did and go to Jason Aldean and have him modify Crazy Town. It is a song specifically talking about Nashville, and they could flip it to talk about Titans scoring touchdowns. That's a good idea, too. I like that of get an artist involved, and you can find a song that fits, but, you know, flip it to encapsulate what you're looking for from the Titans. 5298 says, bring back My Sharona. That's Taylor and Bellevue. That one's good. 1811 says 100% on the Ring of Fire comment. Was cool once, but no hype whatsoever. That's exactly what I'm thinking. Is I think there was moments when it was cool. And last year when they first did it, I don't think I hated it initially. I was at the Jets game, so that was the first time they did it for a regular season game at least. And I didn't hate it, but it did not grow on me. Just like the uniforms, I think it has slowly gotten worse. I'd like to hear a new touchdown song. I don't know if they'll do it this year because I feel like once you get it started, it's hard to pivot at this point because, you know, those game ops people, they have their scripts and they've been working on this all offseason. So I don't think it's going to change this year, but I'd like for next year, maybe for the new stadium at least, I'd love to get a new touchdown song. And some great ideas here on the text line. I still think Nickelback, Burn It to the Ground, is my favorite so far. That was a great one from Matthew in Nashville and Josh from White House. You know, Nickelback, maybe not the most beloved band, but they do have some hype songs that could get you after the touchdown. Again, I liked the intro video. I thought the intro video was awesome with Jelly Roll. Do something like that. Something like that would be perfect. And Jim Wyatt as the What a Ref was maybe the highlight of my night over there at Titans at the Titans preseason game on Friday. Before we wrap up this conversation, because we are going to get into Titans roster math coming up next, we're going to go through how many players are locked in, how many spots are up for grabs, and where the waiver claims could come. We'll do that coming up next. But first, let's go back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. James is on the line wanting to talk Titans touchdown song. James, thanks for calling. What's your thoughts on what could replace Ring of Fire?
Well, sir, I hate to tell you, I'm ignorant about who sang it or anything, but it was that song, We Want to Fight for the Right to Party.
There you go.
That song gets everybody going, no matter whether they like that kind of music or not. It gets you going.
I like it. I like it. I know that's what the Chiefs love to do. Because Travis Kelce yelled that after they won the Super Bowl. I don't know if they use that for their touchdowns, but I know that that's kind of one of their things, and it gets people going. People love it, so I like that idea.
Well, thank you. That was my thing, and I appreciate y'all.
Yep, thanks for the call, James. Great thoughts on what the Titans could replace Ring of Fire with as a touchdown song. Casey in Gallatin says Walk by Pantera, and 0835, this one will be a controversial one, and I think a lot of people wouldn't like this. Broadway Girls by Morgan Wallen.
Oh,
I'm not so sure about that one. I think there would be a certain demographic of the fan base that wouldn't hate that. I think a lot of people wouldn't like that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Great interaction here. I don't love Ring of Fire. I think they should replace it. You know, if anybody's listening out there who can change it, we got some good ideas on our text line. Our listeners are very smart with what could replace it, because I didn't have a solution for this. Like, I just wanted to come on here and say it disappointed me that they stuck with Ring of Fire. It seems like our listeners have better ideas for what could replace it. 615-737-1025. Let's get back into what's actually happening on the football field coming up next. The Titans have to cut down their roster from 90 to 53 by 3 p.m. tomorrow. I went through and found out how many players are locked in. There's no chance they miss the roster. There's a couple of spots up for grabs. We'll look at where those spots could go, who could take them, and how long they may be on the roster with the Titans having the top waiver priority. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Monday morning. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game.